Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Uber has hit the road for the government's climate action plan, at least the transport element of it. Anyway, the Minister for the Environment, Richard Bruton, recommitted the government this morning to its plan to put just under 1 million new electric vehicles on Irish roads over the course of the next 10 years in order to achieve the desired emissions reduction targets. But the motor industry has poured cold water on those targets, saying that it was a figure that was arrived at without asking them would it be achievable. It is one of the main ways that the government plans to meet its ambitious emissions reductions targets, as Minister Richard Bruton told Damien O'Reilly this morning.
There is an appetite out there, and as we double the charging infrastructure, I expect to see that double again. So by 2025, we expect to see 180,000 electric vehicles on the road, and by the end of the decade, close to a million electric vehicles on the road.
All sounds great, but is it actually achievable? The motor industry responded on the News at One.
We think it is too ambitious. And I think if you look at the history of electric vehicles in Ireland, we have set targets in the past without actually putting a plan in place. So in many ways, this to us appears to be setting the target without putting the plan in place, putting the cart before the horse.
Brian Cook from the Society of the Irish Motor Industry, SIMI, speaking this afternoon. So, has the government set the target without seeing if the plan was one that could actually be put in place? Engineers have been asking this question too about the global car industry's ability to let us all drive our way out of our transport emissions problem. Gerry Duggan worked in the electricity and transport sectors for many years. He's a fellow of the Irish Academy of Engineering and of Engineers Ireland. Gerry, first off, is it achievable? There are 12 million tonnes of CO2 being produced annually by the transport sector. We have to get rid of 8 million of those. Will 840,000 electric vehicles do that?
We won't be able to get 840,000 electric vehicles. The reality at the moment is worldwide, by 2020, the lithium-ion manufacturing capacity in the world is only capable of producing 2.75 million cars. Now, the world produces 60 million cars and 25 million light goods vehicles every year. So, frankly, there are limits in how fast that capacity can be cranked up, because there are both resource limitations, but there are also people limitations. You require a whole new bevy of chemical engineers trained in Libyan, etc., which don't exist at the moment. So there is a very large gap between what's been proposed and what is achievable.
Okay, so with almost 3 million electric vehicles being produced annually, if Ireland was the only country that had thought that it could drive its way out of this problem, well then we'd have it solved, but we're not.
No, and the point is that 60% of the battery manufacturing capacity is in China, or less than 5% of it is in Europe, and our cars predominantly come from Europe.
So we're right out here on sucking on the hind teat, so to speak, in terms of the production chain.
We will get an allocation determined by the global motor industry, which will be relatively small, and this is where the Society of the Irish Motor Industry are coming from.
So that charge coming from the Society of the Irish Motor Industry, that this target is, if you like, reverse engineered, that it was calculated on the basis of we need X million tonnes to come out of the atmosphere from transport. How many cars is that going to take? There's the figure. Let's work towards that without ever actually asking anybody if it was achievable. Does that sound like a justifiable charge?
Well, put it this way, given that we have no control over worldwide auto manufacturing, it looks highly ambitious to say that we are going to get a disproportionately large share of what the world produces.
So is it possible then to achieve the necessary emissions reductions in the transport sector without putting large numbers of people onto more public transport or onto bicycles?
Well, effectively, we are going to have to invest very considerably in public transport. And it's not just because of an emissions reduction. We have in our cities major congestion problems as it stands at the moment. And effectively, we are going to have to invest very substantially to address those problems. Now, in terms of moving people to bicycles, etc., electric scooters or anything, all of these are necessary components. But effectively, we are going to have to invest in public transport. But equally well, plug-in hybrid cars offer quite a significant solution. Research undertaken in UCD indicated that for the 14 cars allocated to staff there, to the engineering department, they operated in hybrid mode for about 50% of the time. Now, they have much smaller batteries than a pure electric car. So effectively...
We should explain here, sorry, dear, I think it's important to say that plug-in hybrids allow you to choose when the car operates on its electric battery and when it operates on its internal combustion
engine. No. The car chooses.
But it's not like the Toyota Prius or the Leaf, which will drive under 10 kilometres an hour in electric mode and then switch into a petrol engine car.
Well, in the control terms, it's much the same. But obviously, by being able to plug in, you get the benefit of being able to to power it with an increasing level of renewable electricity that we're having.
But you're still using an awful lot of petrol in this scenario.
Well, you're reducing your petrol consumption perhaps by up to 50%.
Okay, but there are an awful lot of petrol emissions that are still there. You talked about the various elements that are needed in the manufacture of these batteries, cobalt, lithium and copper. Are these resources that are in increasingly short supply? Because, I mean, you hear that there isn't actually that much of a problem with lithium for a start.
No, there is. Lithium is fairly extensively distributed around the globe. Now, the difficulty is the areas with high concentration of lithium are relatively small. So you're going to have to go to lower quality ores, which means the price goes up to actually produce it. In the case of cobalt, it's a much different situation. 95% of the world's cobalt resources are in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is anything but democratic. And a significant proportion of that production there is by child labour operating in appalling mining conditions. And the use of cobalt, because of the implications for reputation, the motor industry is very, and the battery industry are trying very much to find alternatives to cobalt, and it is possible there won't be an alternative to lithium for the transport sector.
Okay. So really, in considering our way out of the biggest existential crisis of this generation, indeed of any generation, we're looking at also perpetuating or contributing to an enormous human rights problem.
Based certainly on use of cobalt and to a certain a lesser extent the use of lithium, but lithium...
And are there alternatives yet that are likely replacements?
There won't be an alternative to lithium because the laws of electrochemistry are immutable.
And to cobalt?
Cobalt, there potentially is alternatives and the manufacturers are working very hard to find them.
Meanwhile, the government is absolutely committed to this target of 840,000 both electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles. You're saying from an engineering point of view, from a supply chain point of view, that's just not going to happen.
No, and I think it's necessary for the government to focus on investment in public transport where they have a direct role and where they have potentially control over the situation.
Gerry Duggan, thank you very much for joining us.